Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia. I'm a Passionist priest, and I want to talk to you today about some of our Passionist saints, especially three saints who are young people, and I pray that it inspires you. Let me share with you a reading from the book of Hebrews. This is chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, the word of the Lord. We are surrounded, the Bible tells us, by a great cloud of witnesses. And this group of witnesses, we believe, are Old Testament people like Abraham and Noah and David and the prophets. And that comes right from Hebrews chapter 11. But we're also surrounded by a cloud of witnesses from the ones who have believed in Christ and who have died. This is called the communion of saints. This is one of the great doctrines of our Catholic Church, that somehow, in some way, in a mystical way, we are united with these saints now in heaven. They pray for us, and they've also given us a very good example by their life on earth. And I want to share with you the life of three of our Passionist saints. We Passionists have only had seven canonized saints, St. Paul of the Cross, and then some of the others that I'll talk about. St. Paul of the Cross, I preached a program or taught a program about him recently, and he was the founder of the Passionist community. So canonized saints are one thing, but when Paul the Apostle wrote a letter to, say, the Corinthians or the Romans or some of the other churches where he belonged or that he founded, he would talk about, at the beginning of the letter, he would address it to the saints at Corinth, or to the saints at Philippi. And what he was saying was that word saint literally means a holy one. So although they weren't canonized, they were still alive on earth, he was calling them a saint. So I want you to know that the word saint means to become holy. And that is our call. All of us have a call to become holy. On All Saints Day in the Catholic Church, we celebrate the canonized saints. Think about St. Francis of Assisi and St. Paul of the Cross and St. Catherine of Siena, St. Teresa of Avila, and all these different saints. Every saint I've ever studied in some way, shape, or form has suffered. For example, St. Francis of Assisi, he was short. He died at a very young age. He was blind when he died. He was only like 42, 44 years old. He went through a tremendous suffering. St. Paul of the Cross went through suffering spiritually and physically as he grew older. And St. Catherine of Siena suffered physically. All the different saints had this mysticism through suffering. And that's going to be part of the saints that I share with you. Even the young saints suffered. So I want you to understand that all of us have a call from God to become holy. And when I talk about holiness, that means virtue, means being united with God in prayer. It means having a good character, and it means reaching out to people in love. When I talk about virtue, think about mercy, think about love, think about compassion. That's what it means to become a saint. And on All Saints Day, we celebrate the canonized saints, but we also celebrate those who have gone before us who weren't recognized by the church as saints, but probably are. And they're in heaven and rejoicing. I think about my own dad. You know, pardon me for being a little biased here, but dad was buried on All Saints Day. And I had his funeral. And to me, he was a very saintly man, very generous, very gentle, very kind, a faithful man. And so people that have come into your life, grandmothers and parents and friends and relatives and all these different, one day, we're told in the book of Revelation, there will be a crowd that nobody can count from every nation gathered around the throne and the Lamb, and they will be singing about salvation. These are the saints. And these are the great cloud of witnesses that we have. And so we're told in the scriptures to run the race and to lay down the sins that cling so closely to us, because we have a great cloud of witnesses rooting us on. Parents, and relatives, friends. I think about some of my friends that have gone before me that were great people, and I'm sure will be in heaven forever. And then, of course, the New Testament saints, the Old Testament saints, all this great throng inviting us to be a part of that throng around the throne of God. So let me share with you about a couple of the Passionist saints. Passionists were a community founded in the 1700s in Italy. I have become a Passionist priest. I've been a priest now for 26 years and a religious for 32 years. And we are dedicated to the proclamation of the Passion. That's why we're called Passionists. You see, on my heart, I wear what's called the sign. When Jesus in the Gospel of John did miracles, performed miracles, they were called signs. The sign at Cana, or the raising of Lazarus, was a sign. Well, the greatest sign was the sign of the Passion. And that's why I am wearing what's called our sign. And inside the sign, the words are in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. They're the words of the cross, the languages of the cross, and it means the Passion of Jesus Christ. We have a saying in the Passionist, may the Passion of Jesus be always in our hearts. And that's why we wear this over our hearts, because we want to meditate upon and proclaim the Passion to all. So I want to share with you about three young people who were Passionists and who were canonized by the church, proclaimed saints. First of all, Saint Gabriel Placenti, and he was only 23 years old when he died. Then Saint Gemma Galgani, she also lived in Italy, and she was only 25 years old when she died. And then a saint that you've probably heard about, she also was a Passionist, the Passionists claim her, and that's Saint Maria Goretti, and she was only 11 years old when she was murdered and stabbed to death. So first of all, Gabriel Placenti, he has been canonized and proclaimed the patron of youth. And I love that, because when I first got into ministry right after college, I became a youth minister. And I was very involved in youth groups in a number of different parishes for the first couple of years of my ministry. And I met so many young people, people who were searching, other people who were great believers, and I saw such great potential in the young people. And statisticians will tell us that most people make some type of a dedication for Christ in their youth. Usually when you get over 25 or 30 years old, oftentimes you kind of stay the same. It doesn't mean that you can't change or you can't have a conversion, but mostly it's young people that make this tremendous dedication to Christ. I know from my own life that's true, because it was when I was 19 years old, just a teenager, gone through a breakup with a girl and searching in my life, and I came to Christ just as I was, started praying and believing, surrendered my life to Him, touched by the Holy Spirit, totally changed. The whole direction of my life changed. My whole destiny changed. I had no idea that I would ever become a priest, but it was because I came to Jesus as a young person. And if there's any young people watching this program right now, I invite you to believe that God has a plan for you. Jeremiah was a young prophet, and he thought he was too young, and God told him, don't say that you're too young. And he said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not your woe, plans that will give you a hope. So I want you to believe that you have a great hope in front of you. And that's exactly what happened in Gabriel Presenti's life. He was born in Assisi, Italy. Can you imagine that? Surrounded by Franciscan churches everywhere. He was baptized in the same font that Francis of Assisi was baptized in. And then he went to a service at a cathedral one day. And as the image of the Virgin Mary was being carried by, all of a sudden he heard a voice. And the voice said to him, "Why do you remain in the world?" Wow. Why do you remain in the world? I think our young people today are being attacked by our culture. I mean, just about all the time I see young people walking down the street and all they're doing is looking at their iPhones, even when they're driving. And then there's the internet and TV and all these distractions that have come to their life. Even when they're sometimes going to church, they're looking at it. And many people have fallen away from the church. So what I'm trying to say is that young people today are under assault by the world, by our culture, because our culture is attractive and it seems to give pleasure and it seems to bring fulfillment, but really it comes with empty promises. And as a youth minister, that's what I was trying to convey to our young people, that you can find fulfillment, you can find destiny, you can find purpose and meaning in God. So here's Gabriel, and he hears this voice, and it says to him, "Why do you remain in the world?" And it changed his life. I remember one time I was preaching in Orlando, Florida, St. Stephen's in Orlando. If you live in Orlando, you know where that is. Anyway, after I preached, I'm walking down the aisle and this hand comes out and grabs me and he says, "Father, can I talk with you?" And I looked and it was a young man, probably 16 years old, had a gold chain on his neck, very wealthy neighborhood there in Orlando. And I'm thinking to myself about that situation where Jesus and the rich young man that came up to him and said, "What do I got to do to have life?" And it was a modern day example of that. Literally, this young guy, rich, good looking, came up to me as a Catholic priest, and he was saying, this is what he said. We sat down later, and he said, "Father," he said, "your preaching has really tweaked my interest." He said, "I need to tell you about this church. This church is big and huge and beautiful." He said, "My parents have poured a lot of money into the building fund to help build this place." He said, "I know they talk about it all the time." And he said, "Week after week, Sunday after Sunday, they drag me to Mass." That's the words he used. "They drag me to Mass." And he said, "I don't know the God to whom this building has been built. It's a very beautiful church, St. Stephen's." And he said, "I come with them, but I don't know who God is." And I looked at him, and then he looked at me and he said, "Can you help me?" And I looked at him and I thought, you know, the world, you could see the gold chain. The world had such an influence on him, but yet there was such goodness in him. And I see such goodness in our young people. And he was appealing to me for help because he heard me preach about Jesus and a relationship with Jesus. And what I told him was this, I said, "Give yourself to Christ in surrender. It won't be long. He'll touch you. He'll change you." And that's what happened to Gabriel Presenti. After he heard that voice, he made a surrender. Even though there were no Passionist churches near him, and he lived in Assisi, he made a dedication as a Passionist. He found the Passionist because he had a great devotion to the Passion of Jesus. Even though St. Francis did, apparently the Franciscans weren't right for him. And he had a brother who was a Dominican, but he didn't join the Dominicans. But he became a Passionist, and in a short time, he went from being worldly to gaining virtue. And this is what made him a saint. He became a very holy young man, contracted tuberculosis, and unfortunately he died at the young age of 23 years old. But he was canonized as a Passionist saint. What I also want to tell you about St. Gabriel is now in Italy, there is this huge shrine in the Abruzzi. That's about 90-100 miles east of Rome. Millions of pilgrims go to St. Gabriel's shrine, and it's near Torano, Italy. And St. Gemma Galgani, and I'll tell you about her in a minute, claimed that it was St. Gabriel that led her to a Passionist vocation, because when she had gotten sick as a young person, she prayed to St. Gabriel, who had died and gone to heaven, and she was healed of a disease. So all these young people coming to the shrine, I remember back when I was just ordained a priest, I went to World Youth Day in Denver. Wow, I have never seen anything like this. Pope John Paul II came to Denver, and there must have been 500,000, 750,000, some people say 1,000,000, and I was one of 3,000 priests. I had just been ordained a couple years earlier, and I saw young people everywhere, and I saw joy and celebration. And I remember during his homily, Pope John Paul II, our former pope, now a saint, I remember during his homily, he talked to the young people about don't be afraid. He talked about being a witness to other young people because he knows what the culture is like and how it attracts you and how it tries to pull you away from God. And one of the great witnesses that young people can be is to be witnesses to their own peers about God. And he said this, he said, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Then, you know, he went on with Mass and we preached the creed, we proclaimed the creed. And then right after the creed, the Pope stopped and he said, the Pope has made a mistake. And everybody said, what is he talking about? He said, in my homily, I told you not to be ashamed of the gospel. And what I meant was, be proud of the gospel. Don't be afraid to share it. Go out into the streets. Share it with your peers. And he was challenging all the young people that were present that day and all the priests to proclaim the best they can a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I remember how the atmosphere of that place, there was 500,000 to 1,000,000 young people there, the celebration, the spirit that was present. I will never forget the power of being Catholic and being gathered in that huge throng. So St. Gabriel has that shrine in Italy, and thousands, if not millions, every year come to that shrine to celebrate. I remember in Houston, you know, I belong to the Diocese of Houston, or at least I live within the diocese. I'm a religious, Galveston, Houston. I was asked as a seminarian to preach the youth conference. And I was really nervous because I knew there were going to be a lot of young people there and what was it going to be like and everything. And I was nervous because I thought they might laugh at me or not listen to me and be attracted by all their cell phones and everything. And I remember I went there to preach and there was over 1,000 young people gathered. And I have preached now for 30 years in different situations. That was the most charismatic crowd I have ever preached to. The hunger and the way they listened and they paid close attention to everything that I said, wow, this was amazing. And then I went to another diocesan youth conference in Houston as a priest to hear confessions. You got a couple thousand young people gathered and confessions were a part of the whole thing. So they put us all in this big room. It was in a hotel downtown Houston. They put us all in a big room, 30 of us confessors. And I remember they opened the door to let the young people in. And I saw young people running to confession. I couldn't believe it. I wanted to cry. I wanted to weep. Here are all these young people being let in, you know, thousands of them, just a little bit at a time. And they were so invested about confessing their sins and wanting to be pure and wanting to do God's will that they were running to confession. And as I heard some of these confessions, I remember this one young man, he was about to go away to college and he confessed to me his sins. And he said, I want to begin my college years right. And I thought, wow, this is so good. There's such innocence, such purity, such passion in our young people. So Gabriel Pacenti became a great saint in our church, patron of youth, a passionist. And then St. Gemma Galgani. She was proposed marriage twice. Remember what I said, very pretty girl. And what she said was, she loved God more than the world. She surrendered herself to Jesus over and over again and made vows as a passionist, as a lay passionist. And this is what she said. She said, what do you wish, O Jesus? My life, it is yours. I offer it to you. If I had 100 lives, I would give every one of them to you. She surrendered to Jesus. Such love. I remember one time I was preaching in, I was preaching in Louisiana, in Covington. This, by the way, is where we're filming, Covington, Louisiana, north of New Orleans. And I was preaching in a church there. And after I preached about the Holy Spirit, these two young girls, really good looking, freshmen in high school, come up and talk about love for Jesus. You could just see it. They were bubbling with joy. They come up to me and they go, "Father Cedric, we belong to a high school, to a girls' high school, and we'd like you to come and preach about the Holy Spirit there." And I said, "What do you mean? What are you talking about? What high school?" She said, "Well, we belong to St. Scholastica in Covington, Louisiana. It's an all-girls high school, and we want to have a rally for God, because oftentimes in our high school and Catholic high schools in general, it's Catholic, but we're not hearing a lot about God. Well, we want to have a rally for God. And we think that you would be a great keynote speaker." And I looked at them and they were so young, and I'm thinking to myself, I could be their grandfather. I go, "Why don't you try getting a young man or a young woman to go in there and preach your rally?" And, no, "Father, you'd be great. Why don't you do it?" And I saw their enthusiasm and I saw their smile and I saw their, like Gemma, their love for God. And I go, in a weak moment, I said, "Okay." I said, "By the way, how many girls go to your high school?" I'm thinking maybe a couple hundred. They said 900 girls. I go, "Okay, we'll do our best." So I remember the day I was going to go preach at their high school. And I've just like this, get out of my car, and I'm met by the head nun at this high school. Again, it's St. Scholastica High School in Covington, Louisiana. So I go walking up, and the head nun comes up to me, and I knew I was in trouble because she shook my hand, and she didn't say, "Hey, nice to meet you. You must be Father Cedric." She shakes my hand, and she goes, "You're a brave man." And I go, "I am." I kind of lost my voice. And I go in, and I'll never forget this. The bleachers are everywhere, and there's girls everywhere. You know, some of them, they're yapping away and talking, and some of them have cell phones. And here I come dressed like this. And I felt like I was kind of going into the Roman Colosseum, about to be fed to the lions. So I go in there, and I'm part of this first annual rally for God. I'm going to be the keynote speaker. They have music. These two girls that got me got up, and they gave a little witness about how they love God and how God was at work in their life. Now it's my turn to get up, and I get up there in front of all those girls, and I look at them all, and this is what I shared. I shared that when I was in high school, I was really struggling. I didn't have God in my life. And I was afraid about what all my peers were thinking of me. I was in English class, and we were going and just reading English. And they came to me, and as I started to read, I started to get very self-conscious. And my heart started beating really fast. And for the first time in my life, I had a panic attack. And everybody was looking at me, and I didn't know what to do. It was one of the worst moments of my life. I was afraid about what everybody thought. And then, finally, after high school, when I got into college, I gave my life to Christ. And He gave me a new courage, a new boldness. And I challenged them to give their lives to Jesus, to surrender, not to be afraid, to be bold, to be courageous, just like these young girls were that got me to come there in the first place. So I did the best I can to help these girls to surrender, and it was a beautiful first annual rally for God. And it was those two young girls and their attitude and their love for God that fired me up. And if you're a young person watching this or an older person watching this, be courageous, be bold, don't let fear. Remember what John Paul II said, don't be afraid to share the gospel. And that's exactly St. Gemma Galgani. St. Maria Goretti, she was a martyr at 11 years old. She was brought up in a Passionist church. She was taught communion by the Passionists. The Passionists were the ones that postulated her cause for canonization. That's why the Passionists claim her as a saint. Well, they were kind of a poor family. They had to move in with another family. And here she is, 11 years old, in with this other family. And this young man, 18 years old, Alessandro, tried to rape her. He said, "I'm going to kill you if you don't succumb to me." And she said, "I'd rather die than give up my chastity." And he stabbed her 14 times. And she died forgiving Alessandro. Well, she was canonized in 1950, and believe it or not, there was 500,000 people at the canonization of St. Maria Goretti, and Alessandro was one of them because he received forgiveness from God for his sin. She is called the martyr for chastity because she died rather than give up her virginity. And I want to tell any of you that might be struggling with purity or struggling with sexual temptation that Maria Goretti, have her pray for you. You will be strong. You will be able to overcome. Another young person who loved Jesus, lived with passion, gave her life for Christ. So, all these different saints, St. Gabriel Pacenti, St. Gemma Galgani, and then, of course, Maria Goretti, St. Paul of the Cross. We have a great cloud of witnesses that surround us and invite us to give our lives to Christ and to become holy. Wherever you are, whatever age you are, may you know that God is calling you to holiness. We have a communion with these saints. They will intercede for us. They will pray for us. They will help us along the journey. And that's why we always say, St. Paul of the Cross, pray for us. St. Gemma Galgani, pray for us. St. Maria Goretti, pray for us. St. Gabriel Pacenti, pray for us. And may Almighty God help you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All things work to good for those who love God, who have been called according to His purpose. I talked in my preaching about St. Francis of Assisi in the dungeon, how it changed him. Joseph in prison, how it changed him. And I have a prison ministry where I have a number of pen pal ministers, people writing to people in prison. And I got a letter from a woman in prison. She said, I've been reading your books, Live Passionately, You Can Change, Challenges Make Champions, You Are Loved. And she said, it's really touching us. We're sharing it with everybody here. And so I sent her the rest of my books. Then I got a letter from somebody that said, we're not Catholics, but your Christian teaching and preaching has so impacted us and inspired us that we have been renewed. We've never contributed to any TV evangelist but you. You are divinely special to us and we're devoted to your ministry. I thank you for that. And what I'm trying to do here is to help people gain perspective in their life. I want you to have meaning in your sufferings. And also, I want you to gain perspective. I'm reaching out to people in prisons. I'm trying to help all people, people that have fallen away, young people. And we're doing this. We're reaching out with the gospel everywhere in the world. Would you support me either by buying my resources or by becoming a partner with my TV ministry? I'd so, so appreciate it. If you like the preaching, please support it. We'll send you an envelope. Just designate whatever book you want. We'll send that to you. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live. Live with passion.